This is Mae Warren. This is tape two with Bob Fishburne on 4th of July, 1996 in Lexington, Virginia. You have been a newspaper man, right? Mm-hmm. That's been your profession. And you're in the neighborhood. So surely you've kept an eye on this whole co-education issue as it developed at Washington, don't you?
And you want me to comment on that?
I'd like to hear you what your perceptions
stick, you
were.
You want me to stick my head in the lioness's mouth? No, I'm kidding.
I'm interested in what you thought at the time and what you think
I
now.
I will admit to being to having some misgivings 10 years ago. I had a sneaking suspicion that a certain president was brought in to accomplish this, a suspicion that has been confirmed. I, being something of a traditionalist, I was thinking, is there any way we can do this more slowly, you know, because this is a great change, and can we do it kind of slicing thin slices of the cheese? Then I realized that was ludicrous. If we were going to do it, we had to just go on and do it. I heard the probably apocryphal stories about what they were going to do with the bathroom facilities around campus when they realized they didn't have enough bathrooms for the women. And the story went around that they just decided to put potted plants in urinals and make them into ladies' facilities. I don't know if that's true or not, but it makes a good story. So I had
misgivings. Make them easy to water.
Yeah, it would be easy to water. I want to tell you a Churchill joke after we cut it off. I had misgivings. The prep school I went to went co-ed some years back. I think in my mind I could justify Washington and Lee's going co-ed much more than I could prep school, because prep school seems to me to be a particularly vulnerable time in a young person's life, and I think I can still say that there's a justification for having this sexual cocoon I've been talking about in prep school. But then I decided there was absolutely no justification for it in a college, because most of the people who go to college are more mature than I was, so they don't need this cocoon. So I became, I guess you would call it, inured to it. I didn't really know how things, I mean, I watched it from a distance and I saw the boisterous, masculine reaction to it when it first came about, you know, what better did than co-ed and all that kind of foolishness. It really wasn't until I did a very short stint as a substitute teacher over here in the journalism department that I realized that the whole tone of the place was just different. And I talked to the professors at that time, and to a person, they said that it was just, as far as academics, as far as classroom attentiveness, decorum, level of discussion, it was a far different, far better place. I made the typical remarks about, you know, Hallie taking over everything. Are we going to be able to keep our little leather chairs in our own dens, et cetera, et cetera? Which was part jocular, but partly an early reaction to it. So now I guess I'm enthusiastically in favor of women at W&L, because I've seen what a difference it's made in the I think the tone on campus, I know there have been some problems. I do hope, though, and this is just my caveat, I do hope, and maybe it's a distinction without a difference, but I do hope they still, for the foreseeable future, Bill Washington and Lee is a men's college that admits women. I think that's for the people for whom that is symbolic, I think it would save a lot of wear and tear on some of the alumni and try to keep it as even as possible. Because if you go totally gender neutral or gender blind, it would be 60-40 women or 75-25 women, because they just simply do better. I won't say they're any smarter, but they do better on SATs. They're more driven at a younger age. They mature faster. They take their responsibilities more seriously at that age. It seems to me too many, when I've talked about late bloomers, it seems to be to me that too damn many men are late bloomers. They don't get it until they're 24 or 25. Women don't have that problem. So if it were totally open, I think it would be a predominantly female institution, and I'm not sure. I think it would be strong academically, but I think we'd lose something in the process, and I don't want to get into specifics about what we might lose, because I couldn't. I just have a vague feeling of uneasiness about Washington and Lee being predominantly female. So that's a job for the word merchants and the spinners and Bill Hartog. And all I can say is I wish them luck. But so far, I don't think anybody can say that it hasn't been a tremendous success. There are some things about it I wish had happened differently. I do think it was a power play on the part of the board.
Take me back to that time, because I assume you were covering it.
I wasn't covering it. No, I was an editorial writer, and I'm not sure I ever commented on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would have commented on it on the editorial page, because it was too close to it.
Mm-hmm.
In a very pale way, it was kind of like Justice Marshall not commenting on the VMI.
Justice Thomas.
No. I mean, Justice Marshall was a little, Justice Clarence Thomas, mm-hmm. because his son was at VMI.
Mm-hmm.
I felt as an alumnus, I really shouldn't get into anything like that, because I might have some rather, I might take some prejudice into it. So I don't think the editorial page ever commented on it one way or another, nor do I think the Roanoke Times and World News covered the politics of it or the mechanics of it to any degree. What little I know about it is just really based on rumors, so I wouldn't want to go any more than that. But I think it's well known that John Wilson came in determined to take it co-ed. There's nothing wrong with that, because they needed a strong person to do it, and he seemed to be the one to do it. They were very successful, and I think, as I say, by and large, I don't mean by and large, I wouldn't even put that in there. I think it has been a very good thing for the university.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to talk about?
No. I could get philosophical and talk about liberal education in general.
Oh, please do.
Well, I get very wistful about that.
Oh, do you have a handkerchief with you? I mean, you do. We're all right.
No, but I'm One of the things I read an awful lot about, I consider myself a little bit of an amateur, I don't even want to say expert, but I am, if I'm caught up in my reading on anything, it's on education. And I've read a lot of definitions of what a liberal or liberal arts education amounts to, and it, you know, goes from, one of them goes something like, it teaches you to entertain yourself, a friend, and an idea, which I've always liked. But I think the definition I have come to understand, which sounds so highfalutin, is that a liberal education, liberal in the classic sense of the word, not as opposed to conservative, but a liberal education teaches you about the lifelong process of learning. And I didn't really understand what that meant until I sort of caught fire during the Navy and started reading for pleasure, of all things. And again, I was a late bloomer, but I think that is still a good definition of the education process. And I credit or blame Washington and Lee for giving me something of that, some insight into that process. And it is a process, and it's a never-ending process. And it is probably next to my family, the biggest joy I have in my life. And as far as I'm concerned, it was because of WNL. That's it.
Well, it's pretty nice wrap up. You are a man of words.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has really been a delight.
Thank you. I hope you got something out of it.
Oh, I can already see it on the printed page.